Blog Talk Radio.
Nothing can compare your olive hope, your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen the sweetest of love when my heart becomes free. My shame is under your presence, Lord.
The Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome, because the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He's not going to force his way in. You have to welcome him in. So we're going to start off today by telling the Holy Spirit, you're welcome. Welcome the Holy Spirit into your heart today. Ask him to come in, ask him to lead and guide and direct you. Let's go back into his presence. Praise the Lord, everyone. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. For God is moving by his Spirit. There is nothing, hallelujah, too hard for God. Is there anything too hard for God? No, there is nothing too hard for God. And when we allow the Holy Spirit to live inside of us, he will lead, guide, and direct. I'm telling you, I am so excited in the midst of what the enemy is trying to do. We begin to laugh, we begin to praise the Lord and welcome in the Holy Spirit. Why? Why? Because we need the Holy Spirit to live in us. He said, I will not live in an unclean temple. So we have to invite him in. Enemy cannot stay. Amen. Well, I want to thank everyone once again for allowing God to use you and making a decision. Making a decision. It is a choice. It is a decision that we have to make to say, Lord, I need the Holy Spirit to live inside of me so that I can walk in the way that you would have me to walk, so that I may talk in the way that you would have me to talk, so that I may live, hallelujah, the way that you would have me to live, so that my joy may be known. Amen. Because understand that the joy of the Lord is your strength. And that's what the enemy attacks. He attacks your joy so that he may have victory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This is Pastor Teresa Dot. Once again, we're talking about spiritual strategy. Spiritual strategy to defeat the enemy. Every single time, we're talking about warfare. We're talking about understanding who you are, what you're called to do, and that you really understand that you're part kingdom, the kingdom of the living God. For there is nothing, hallelujah, too hard for God. There's nothing that you have done that's going to hinder you from learning more about the Lord. Father, we just thank you right now for this hour of power. God, we welcome your presence into this room, Lord God. Father, we welcome you into our hearts. Father, we welcome the Holy Spirit, Lord God, and we ask you in the name of Jesus that you will cause, Lord God, everything that's not like you to leave because of your Holy Spirit. Satan, we serve notice on you. We command you to get out. In Jesus' name, by the blood of Jesus, we ask the blood to speak so that Satan will be defeated every single time. God, I ask you to cover everyone on this line. Cover every single person at the sound of my voice, God, that they would not only know you, but they would hear you, Lord God, and they would move by your Spirit. God, we thank you for a teachable spirit. That our ways will be your ways and our thoughts will be your thoughts. Having have heard the word of God will be made better. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen, amen. I thank you for just tuning in every single Wednesday. That God would use you through the week. And that you would see that we are so much better together. Amen. We're stronger together. Amen. We are able to accomplish more together. United, united. Hallelujah. That's what the Lord said. Tell my people to always have a teachable spirit. Amen. Always be open to learn. Always be open to see someone else's point of view. Amen. So that's your prophetic word for today. Always be able to stand, hallelujah, to stand corrected. That's what the Lord is saying. Iron sharpens iron, and we're better together. Amen. We're better together. Glory to the living God, from whom all blessings flow. Amen and amen. Well, we're going to get right into our lesson. I pray that you have your Bible. I pray that you open your Bible daily. I'm going to say Bible, but your study tools. You know, keep them close to you. Study the Word. Get in the Word. Meditate in the Word. It's a time that you have for you and the Lord. Amen. We plan for everything else. But there's nothing like setting time apart for the Lord. Just you and Him. You and the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, you're talking about a party. You're talking about a Holy Ghost party where you can get in the presence of the Lord. And you are so excited that He's going to open the eyes of your understanding and that He's going to give you some prophetic word, some golden nugget that you may be able to pour so that they may be better because you set time apart to be used by the Father. That's what it's all about. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So don't let it be said when it was time for you to go get your Bible. Hallelujah. You couldn't find it. Where did I last have it? Is it in the car? Did I leave it at church? Where's my Bible? No, know where your Bible is until the word is planted in your heart that you might not sin against thee. Amen. Holy Spirit, live inside of us. Glory to God. Well, we're going to pick up where we left off. Amen. And I believe we're going to talk about the churches. We're going to talk about maneuvers and technical maneuvers. And we're talking about how to be fortified in the Word. And we were talking about repentance and salvation and justification. We've been talking about the basics for being fortified as a soldier. Amen. A spiritual equipped soldier. Have you repented and being converted? And how you repent from your sins and you ask Jesus to forgive you? And then once you ask Him to forgive you, you accept Him as your Lord and Savior, and then being converted. Being converted means to turn from sinful ways. Amen. I've been going over the basics, and I'm so excited about getting on the battlefield so that we can destroy every idle word that the enemy says. So that we'll know when he says something or it's coming through someone, we're already equipped and qualified, and we already know what the Lord is saying about a situation. Why? Because we've been in His presence, and we know Him, and we know the heart of God concerning situations. Amen. He wants us to know His way. As a believer, when you sin and you must repent. So I want you to remember that. No one have arrived. In other words, no one is an island. Amen, amen. No one is an island. We need one another. We need one another. I need you, and you need me. In other words, together we're stronger. Together we're stronger. The Corinthians church, I want to start right there. The believers at a city called Corinth had to repent. Amen. I'm going to give you an example. So make this part of your living. Make this part of your daily living. Don't be too proud or too boastful to apologize. Don't be making excuses if someone say you offended me. You know, don't try to understand why and how you offended them. Be so quick to ask them, forgive me if I hurt you. Because you're doing it not for you. You're doing it for them because they explained to you, they said to you, you hurt me. They said to you something that you could rectify quickly. Let me say this in the Bible. First, 2 Corinthians, amen, hallelujah, 7 and 9. 2 Corinthians 7 and 9. I'm going to go through these quickly so I can get to where I'm trying to go. The Bible says, now I rejoice, not that ye were made sorry, that ye sorrowed to repentance. Listen, he don't want you to say, I'm sorry, and you all say it. No, just be in a mode of repentance. Forgive me, because we have work to do. We can't walk around with our head down. Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord, did you see that? Oh, I didn't hurt him. No. Repent. And get ready to march, soldier. Get ready to march because we have work to do. Amen? We got work to do. In 2 Corinthians, again, in the 12th chapter, and I'm going to give you this second scripture, 20 and 21, we're talking about turning from sin and not living in sin and not going to sleep with your sin on you. The Bible says, for I fear lest when I come that I shall bewail many which have sinned already and have not repented of uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed. Listen, whenever you know that you have done something that's not right, be quick to repent because you're making Jesus' reason for coming and sacrificing himself for us in vain. He came to destroy sin. He came that we might be able to be free. So don't let sin be in the camp. Don't let sin be in your heart. Amen. Because sin separates us from God. And sin is something God hates. Amen. He said, I hate sin. Okay. Let's go to the Ephesians. We talked about the Corinth. And now let's go to the Ephesians. Amen. The believers at Ephesians, the Ephesus, they were told to repent. Let me give you a scripture on that. To each church was told to repent. Sardis, the Pegasus, I'm going to go through, let me go back to this. Repentance was part of the church basic. It's the basic. We have gotten so far from the basic. So we do the work of ministry, and we walk in repentance, and we don't turn from sin, and sin gets in the camp. And once sin is in the camp, guess what happens? The enemy has a key, and he can just come in anytime he wants. You know, he can catch you while you sleep. You know, I heard the saying, don't slip. Don't be slipping. Because when you start slipping, guess what happens? You're going to fall. So I'm saying to you, don't slip. Let's tighten up. Tighten up, baby. Tighten up. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Revelation 2 and 5, remember, therefore, from hence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first work. Still talking about repenting. I'm going to go through this quickly. In Revelation 2 and 16, the Bible says, repent, or else unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He's still speaking to the churches. And then the Christian in Sardis, in Revelation 3 and 3, he was talking to them. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast. And then the Bible says, and repent. Revelation 3 and 3. Amen. It goes on and on. Revelation 3 and 19. The Laodicea church. 3 and 19. And many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Repentance is required. So when you are soldier up, the enemy doesn't have a key to get in, because that can be your weak point. Unrepentant sin. Amen, amen. How about you? If there is any unconfessed sin in your life, wherever there is sin, there must be repentance. So we tighten up and we make sure that there is no unconfessed sin. It's simple and easy. The Bible says, if thou say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. And if we confess our sin, guess what? This is the good part. This is the dessert. He is faithful, and he is just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. First chapter, verse 8 and 9. So what I'm saying to you is, every morning and every night, and I'm not saying that you may do something wrong every day, but just in case, make this a good practice. And do it with an honest request. You know, Lord, if I did anything that will have sin in my life, ask him to show you, ask him to help you, and ask him to forgive you. Because unrepentance can affect your salvation. Because repentance is necessary for salvation. See, God has a special plan to enable the message of unrepentance and repentance so that it can reach everyone and that you can understand and you can hear and you can see and you'll be able to speak clearly the word of God. The call of repentance, it began in the New Testament, and it started with the ministry of John the Baptist. See, it's a ministry in itself, and we cannot leave it out. So what I'm trying to do is, I'm trying to get it so much in your heart that every time you do something, that you will be able to do it with fire, that you will be able to do it with tenacity, because you understand that you are in a right standing with God. The voice of one crying in the wilderness. What did he say? Prepare ye the way, the Lord maketh his path straight. That's what John the Baptist was saying. See, John did baptize in the wilderness, and he preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. It was the beginning. I could go on and on and on. I want you to understand that in order to go and preach and teach the gospel, it is imperative that we walk in repentance. Amen. Forgive others and keep it moving. Keep it moving. Because, see, the enemy will have you feeling condemned. And some people now, I'm just going to make this plain. I don't care how much You might ask some people to forgive you, or you might forgive them. Some people like to stay there. But as a soldier, we have work to do. So when you preach the message or when you teach the message of repentance, what you're doing is you're actually calling others to enlist in God's army, because you can't be enlisted unless you're walking in repentance. Amen. So will you make a commitment to start drafting others into this great spiritual army by showing them that God has already forgiven them? He has forgiven the sins of the past, the sins of the future, and our current sins by dying on the cross, and death could not hold him. That sacrifice covered us. That's how God works. The goodness of God. He already knew we was going to need it. Repentance was the first message that Jesus preached. He was still talking about something that seemed elementary, but it seems that we have forgotten. We have to get over things that hurt us. And we have to forgive people. And we have to, when you've been lied on, it's okay. Learn how to laugh at the devil. It was the first message that Jesus preached. So we talked about John in the wilderness, Mark, the first chapter, 3 and 4. And then Jesus in Mark chapter 1, verses 14 to 15. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, and he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Same chapter. And right before that, John was preparing the way for him, right? And then here comes Jesus. I was talking to my mother today, and we were talking. Said, oh, Jesus, there Jesus, there Jesus. That's what my mom said, there Jesus. I said it to my sister-in-law today. Look at Jesus. All these things that he's doing, you know, you can point it out. But in Mark, the first chapter, 14 and 15, and the Bible says, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. So he's talking about repent first and then believe. See, we believe and don't repent. But Jesus said, repent first and then believe. Repentance was preached by believers in the early church. And they went out and they preached to men and women that we should repent, Mark 6 and 12. But I'm telling you, so many scriptures substantiate how important it is that we repent and that the remission of sin should be preached. See, a lot of times we don't want to talk about sin. We don't want to talk about repentance. We want to talk about everything else that someone else did wrong, but I want you to begin to talk about being able to be fortified because you're walking in repentance. Now, let me move forward. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The blessings of God in life of an ungodly person are not to be mistaken as God's approval of his lifestyle. The goodness of God is one way the Lord appealed to men to turn. Listen, despite those that are walking in sin, God still loves them. But God put people in place so that they may preach and teach and evangelize and pull people out of sin into a place where they know God has accepted them. Some people feel that they're so deep in sin, there's no way out. So what do? They waddle in it. You know, they stay there because they feel like this is what God has for me. Sometimes the enemy will blind you and make you think that God can't clean you up and that God won't accept you. So that's why it's incumbent upon preachers and teachers of the gospel, ministers or lay people, whatever you want to refer to yourself as being. It's very important that we forgive people. It's very important that we forgive ourselves, that we love people in spite of their shortcomings. Amen? And that's what the Lord is saying here. God leadeth thee to repent, because they don't really know the goodness of God, don't understand the kind of God that we serve. Amen. I'm going to move forward here. And I've been talking about the basic training, and I want to get you into, officially get you into the boot camp. Amen. I'm trying to give you some refreshing, refreshment of what I have went over. Amen. Amen. I want to talk about right here the Trinity of God. How the Trinity of God keeps us covered. We talked about the Holy Spirit. Listen to this. When you learn, I'm going to say we, when we learn that our great spiritual battle is being waged against us on the inside, but we want to think that this spiritual battle is outside of us, but the spiritual battle goal is to be inside us. The enemy, he wants to be in of me. Wow, he wants to control how I think. He wants to control how I talk. He wants to control how I live. But the Trinity, which is, it includes God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Those are three powerful spiritual forces that assist us in our battle, in our warfare. And see, God assigned angels, and Elder was talking about angels. Angels are messengers. Angels come and have charge over us to help us, to guide us. You know, I don't know how you feel about angels, but I personally believe angelic spirits live in people. And it really warms my heart when I see it. When you see those angelic spirits living in others, a lot of times people are overlooked. You might say, oh, they're so kind. But it's really angelic spirits that's living in them. Listen, there are many gods that are being worshipped in the world. But there's only one true God. And the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, lives inside of people. And when the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, you have an angelic force within. And you may not even know it's there. But the Holy Spirit will live in us, and he'll get you out of harm's way. He will cause you to maybe leave a situation when something's about to happen. You know, I heard so many testimonies of soldiers, how they, in this physical war, where they were maybe getting ready to go to battle. I'll share a particular one with you. this particular one, a girlfriend, a friend of mine, her son was in, I can't quite remember exactly where he was, but he was going to battle. Hallelujah. And the electric went out wherever they were. I think they were in Afghanistan. I'll get him on the line one day to tell his testimony. And he's an electrician. And they were all in this barrack somewhere, and the lights and everything had went out. And the enemy were somewhere around. And he said he heard the Holy Spirit say, go out and fix it. So everyone else was like, no, you better go out there because, and I can't quite explain it like he would, but he said he heard the Lord say, go. But everybody else was in fear and saying, don't go, you won't make it back, blah, blah, blah. He had so much faith that God was leading him to do this. So he called his mother, which is my best friend. And he called her and told her what he was about to do. And she called me up, and she was crying, and she was saying he's about to go out there, and he's not thinking, and this and that. I tell you, God is everywhere. I heard the Lord say, I'm leading, I have legions of angels that's on post with him. So I gave her that word, hallelujah. And after giving her that word, you know, it was a sense of comfort, but still, she was still in mama's mode. He didn't call her back that day, but he called her the next day. And he told her, he said, Mom, he said, when I opened up the door to go out to fix the electric, he said, Mom, it was so many angels that was walking on the side of me. He said, I couldn't see them, but I felt them. Hallelujah. He went and he fixed the electric on the pole, wherever, however he had to do what he had to do, 20 minutes. And he was hearing gunfire and all this stuff, and literally they were under attack. And he fixed the electric and came back in, and, you know, it was just amazing how God did what he did. And everybody was without the electric but their area. Is there anything too hard for God? So sometimes God will allow you to be an example that he's with you. And everyone else was scared and petrified. And he went out there and did what he did, and it caused him to eventually get a promotion because he ended up saving lives with what he did. But it was all God. He lives inside of us. And if we allow him to lead us, he'll make success for our way. The Trinity. And each one has a distinct personality. Yet, he is one God. Now, listen to this. Here, the Lord, our God, is one Lord. Deuteronomy 6 and 4. He's one. And he's all of that with distinct personalities, three distinct personalities. So the three persons of the Trinity of God, I'll repeat, God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So there's several scriptures that confirm that the Trinity, triune nature of God, the three. So when Jesus was being baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River, God spoke, and the Holy Spirit descended. Listen, I hope you can get it. And Jesus, when he was baptized, I'm going somewhere with this. He went straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens was open unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove. I want you to see it. And lightning upon him. And then the Bible says in Matthew 3, I want you to turn here. Matthew 3:10 and 17 is what I just read to you. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is so good to me. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He was being baptized. And he was being put in the water. And the heavens. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. See, that was prior to returning to heaven after his ministry on earth. See, Jesus spoke that the Holy Spirit was coming from God and they couldn't be here at the same time. But yet they're one. Because they all had they had different missions. And the reason I'm going here is I want you to understand that the Comforter has come. And the Comforter is inside of you. And the Comforter will comfort you in the midst of storm, in the midst of trouble, when you are enlisted in the army, when you're ready to fight, when you have to stand up for what's right, when you have to cause the enemy to flee by your presence, because the Comforter is living inside of you, and you don't have to be afraid. Just like my girlfriend's son, his name is TJ, when he went out there to fix the electric, the Comforter was inside of him. The Comforter is inside of you. Holy Spirit living in you to do the work of ministry. In John 15 and 26. So when the Comforter has come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me. These are some really, really good scriptures. John 15 and 20. So here we got God. And there we got Jesus. There Jesus. Lord Jesus. And we got the Holy Spirit. All one. We're better together. We're better together. Those who have ears, I want you to hear what God is saying. See, the Apostle Paul, he spoke of the Trinity nature of God. See, people say, well, Trinity not in the Bible, but the Bible is filled up with the conversation of the Trinity. In 1 Peter 4 and 14, you have to understand, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God rested upon you, and on their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. I want you to understand, sometimes you have to stand for Christ in the midst of a storm, when evil is all around you. Keep standing. Keep allowing the Comforter to live inside of you. It doesn't matter what's going on around you. But the strength of the Comforter living inside of you, you fortify. So keep your mind stayed on him. And then he's going to lead and guide and going to direct you, and you're going to win every time. Why? Because there's an angelic force that will live inside of you, that when you're doing the work of ministry, that you'll be fortified in the storm. I hope you hear what I'm saying. I hope I'm conveying the message that you'll be so filled with God's joy that when the enemy comes, that you're not moved because you understand who you are and what you stand for. I'm talking about this joy, this unspeakable joy that's on the inside, that man didn't give it, and he can't take it away. I want you to listen to this, and I'll be right back.
That sound that's inside of you. Come on.
Your mother's womb. He made you like he wanted you to be. And not only did he make us, he established us. And then he gave us a dwelling place. So that when we go out to fight, that we are created with a circle of strength around us. Those angels encamped around a ball of fire. We don't lose with what God used. The Lord has established a dwelling place for each and every one of us to grow and to go in strength. So everything that you went through, I want you to look on the inside of you. When the enemy thought he could destroy you, he messed up. All he did was made you stronger. So surround yourself with people that will allow the Holy Spirit to live inside of them. Because if you got the Holy Spirit, and he has the Holy Spirit, and she has the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is in each and every one that you surround yourself with, oh my God, that's when there's beauty in your brokenness. Because everyone you surround yourself with are on the same path. Everybody's a soldier, ready to do the work of ministry. And then when that person gets weak, you can pick them back up. You can encourage them in the things of the kingdom, in the things of God. I'm telling you, to be established with the basic strength. This is the basics. Having God inside of you, having his spirit, because God is a spirit, and allowing the Holy Spirit to live inside of you. Okay, I'm excited, you all. I'm getting excited. It's the eternal nature of God actually living within you. That's something to reckon with. You know, I'm kind of jumping around here only because I understand that we've already won. So God is a spirit, and this means that he is without flesh and blood. So therefore, invisible to the natural eye of man, the natural eye, not the spiritual eye, but the natural eye. Do you see God? But you believe God, right? So John 4:24 talks about God is a spirit. And this is really good. And they, which is you and I, that worship him, we have to worship him in spirit. So when you allow your spirit to worship him, that's a whole nother level. Spirit and in truth. So we can't operate in truth unless we deal with untruth. But I'm not going to go over there right now. I'm going to stay right here. We got to worship him with our spirit. And usually when you worship him in spirit, tears start to flow. Joy, you might laugh. You might cry. You might sing. You might dance. Because you're naked before the Lord. You have nothing to hide. Because he's sovereign. He knows everything. God is sovereign. He's the greatest power in all the universe. Okay. If you read in Ephesians 1, and then go ahead and read, I believe it's Romans 9. Just read those whole chapters. We're talking about God being sovereign. He's omnipresent. What does that mean? That means that he's everywhere. Can't get away from him. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. He's everywhere. That's 2 Chronicles 16:9. What I'm trying to say is, when you get out to fight and do warfare, God is omnipresent. You're not by yourself. When you go to do the work, he's everywhere. I just read it. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. I'm going to give you a couple more scriptures, and then we're going to call it a day. In Proverbs 15:3, I'm trying to let you know that our God is a huge God, and he neither sleep nor slumber. We can call him anytime. It's never too early, and it's never too late. He's omniscient. Let me stay with the omnipresent for a minute. Proverbs 15:3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. That's what his eyes are doing. You know, we call some people big-eyed or little man, but his eyes are everywhere, beholding the evil and the good. Where he knows everything. He's everywhere and he knows everything. So whether shall I go from the spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou there. You can't get away from him. That's Psalms 139:7-8. God is with us. So I want you to have a mindset when we begin to do the actual spiritual warfare that God is everywhere. So we're getting fortified. We're getting prepared. We're already walking in repentance. We already accepted our salvation. We already embraced justification. Now here go God. He's everywhere. And then he's omniscient. He knows everything. I want to just laugh because we can't go from him. We can't do anything that he doesn't know. He's everywhere we go. Omniscient means God knows all things. I just read it to you. Psalms 139:4. Thou knowest it's all together. That's the B clause. God is greater than our heart. He knows all things, even what we don't even speak. He knows that. He knows what we think. 1 John 3:20. I hope you write your scriptures down because it's good to me. And then the scripture, Hebrews 4:13. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of God, with whom we have to do. He knew everything. And then I'm going to talk about, I talked about he's omnipresent and he's omniscient. And I'm going to go on and on because I want to brag about it. You know, I want to boast about the Lord. You know, I want to taste and see kind of that the Lord is good. I want you to taste it. I want you to understand. He's unchanging. He's holy. He's omnipotent. Listen, omnipotent. This means God is all powerful. He knows everything. He's everywhere. And he's all power. And he doesn't change. He said, I'm Almighty God, Genesis 17:1. With God, all things are possible. Matthew 19:26. Omniscient. For the Lord God, omniscient. He reigns. I'm getting excited. It's 6 o'clock. It's 6:01. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is sinless. He's pure. He's fair. He's impartial in judgment. I cannot say enough about my daddy today. Abba, Father. God is faithful. And he won't leave us. But what I want you to understand, when you're getting ready to do warfare, greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. We won, and we're winning. We're winning. You're winning. You won. You're winning. You won. You're winning. So don't let nothing and nobody tell you that you're not going to win. You're going to win. Everything that caused every problem that you may have thought that might cause you to lose, I want you to eradicate it right now in the name of Jesus. Because our God is bigger. Our God is greater. Amen, amen. We're talking about spiritual strategy. So understanding who he is caused you to already win. Not knowing who he is caused you to lose. And then he's living inside of you. So you a little G. You didn't know it. But you all of that. You are a little G. I'm going to give you these last two scriptures. And then we're going to close out. But you are his workmanship. You're his handiwork. Oh, yeah. You God in the earth realm. It's not robbery. The Bible says in Ephesians 2 and 10, for we are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Jesus Christ so that we can do the good things that he planned for us to do a long time ago. I want to encourage you. Surround yourself with people that know that you're God's masterpiece. But yet stay humble before the cross and stay hidden and let God work through you. And every time the enemy try to destroy you, you use these tools so you can build yourself back up in faith. And every time you build yourself up in faith, the enemy's going to flee. Just these simple things. So that we will not be going around in the circle. Well, glory to God, hallelujah, praise his name. I want to encourage you today, if you like what we are doing, help us by sowing to where God has us going. Amen. You can go to Giveify, www.giveify.com, which is GiveLify.com. You're not sowing into me. You're not sowing into elder. You're sowing into purpose. Amen. We ask you to partner with us. You know, you can do a monthly seed. You can do a weekly seed. Every seed counts. Because we have a vision. And the vision is of God. And it's all about people becoming what God called them to become. You can go to PayPal and you can go into kingdombuilders@gmail.com. I tell you, God has chosen his people to fight the good fight of faith. COVID-19 is just a gas to push us into purpose. Amen, amen, amen. I don't want to hold you any longer, but I can hold you forever. I just say God bless everyone. And no, there's no way that you can lose with what God used. Keep giving. Keep loving. Keep forgiving people. Keep forgiving yourself. There's nothing too hard for God. And as my brother in the ministry said, pray for us as we pray for you. And we're going to watch everyone and stay in faith. Because God is bigger. God bless you all. Have a wonderful evening.
bigger than the universe. You're bigger than the sun and the stars. You're bigger than the things, oh, that could tear me apart. You're bigger than the universe. You're bigger than the sun and the stars. You're bigger than the things, oh my, that could tear me apart.